Well, I want to make a little announcement. I know some of y'all probably don't know, and most of y'all do. Some of y'all asked me already. We're leaving. No, we're not. I'm just kidding. No, they voted. They voted no. So my heart was broken. I left here today, and I was mad, and I was sad, and I cried, and I knew I would. And I told Chris, he said, "You said you wouldn't do this." I said, "That ain't what I said. I said I was going to cry, and then I'd get over it." I can cry a little bit, but I didn't get over it on my own. We went home today, and I was sad, and I quit. I already quit one time today. You ever quit in one day and then start again? Well, amen, I did already. I already quit one time.
Go ahead.
But guess what? The great encourager showed up and helped me today.
Go ahead.
When did he show up? I don't know. He just showed up. I was taking a nap, and I woke up and started writing down messages, and God showed up and showed me some things, and I'm glad the Lord's faithful. Somebody said, "Brother Jason, you've been faithful." Well, it might look that way, but it ain't really that way. It's just He's been faithful. Amen? Say, so I tell you what, I ain't got no faithfulness. I don't have any righteousness. It all comes from Him. I don't have any faithfulness. It all comes from Him. So He gets all the glory. But the Lord's got something for us to do. It's real easy to doubt through the life I've been down, the road I've been down, and being abandoned by people and being hurt by people. And it really feels like nobody don't want you sometimes. And it's easy to get your feelings hurt. But I want to be like Jacob, and like he wrestled with that angel and said, "God, you're going to bless me."
Yeah, that's right.
And whether you want to or not, amen. But He wants to. I believe that. I believe He's got a plan for us. And, you know, He's told us, encouraged us today just to keep on keeping on. And I don't know what He's got. Thank God for what went on here this morning. That encourages me, amen. And say, I mean, it may not be. I just want to be faithful in the small things. But I tell you what, I believe God wants to bless you and bless you with anything. So we just want to thank Him tonight. I got to go over there. But we're going to go over there. Maybe some of y'all, one of y'all want to say something. And I'm going to go over there and we're going to sing "Thank You, Lord." Amen.
We actually did have more yeses than noes, but it wasn't what the percentage we prayed about or they prayed about. And we just prayed the Lord's will be done. But I appreciate my husband and what he needs to be.
That's a good testimony. Let's sing "Thank You for Your Blessings on Me." Amen. Thank God. I tell you what, the Lord's been good either way. Being saved and in the South, amen, and in a good Bible-believing church where we don't vote on who buys the toilet paper, amen.
Yeah.
And we got liberty. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Amen. I tell you what, I like to just feel the Lord and feel His presence and just get under the spout where the glory comes out. Amen.
As the world looks upon me as I struggle, they are so wrong.
In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on me.
thankful to have such a wonderful family.
Go ahead.
And a beautiful little girl. And I just want to do right by God and by my family. And my family here at church. I mean, I don't know. A lot of y'all I don't know anymore, but I just want to get back in. And, I thank God for how much He's blessed me. And how good He's been to me.
Man, I'm telling you, you don't know how good you got it, folks. Don't miss an opportunity just to brag on tonight.
Hey!
I know I'm not wealthy.
I know I'm not wealthy. And these clothes, they're
not right.
I don't have much money. But Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters. Though the world may not see, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Let's sing it tonight now.
There's a roof up above me.
Yes, sir.
I have a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Sing the chorus now.
There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family.
You ought to just let the Lord help you tonight.
I just wanna thank
y'all sung, you need to get right.
You,
y'all sung, you need to get right. Let's all sing it with him tonight.
Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me.
Everybody.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's thank him tonight. Ain't God been good to us? Woo!
Thank you, Lord.
Praise him tonight. Oh, praise him tonight. He's been good to us.
For making me whole.
Saving my soul. Amen. 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 Thank God, Lord, brother. Amen. Yeah. Let's pray. I'm glad he put the stars in the sky. I'm glad he made the sunshine. I'm glad he put the river there. Give us something to eat when we're hungry. Give us a place to sleep at night. God's been good to us. Hey.
For the sparrow that
he made.
Thank you, Lord, for my home and family.
Amen.
For the
That's right.
Shoes on my feet, ready to eat.
Thank you, Lord. Hey, man, girl, come on. Church, thank God for a church.
Friend so dear, giving my sad heart cheer, holding my hand when I could not stand. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for me on the cross of Calvary, taking my place. Mercy and grace, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Saint.
I just want to thank you, Lord.
I just want
to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me.
Sure.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. I was just thinking there, after Brother Jason gave that testimony, God, He always is doing something, and He's usually doing something that we don't see. And I was just thinking that even though those circumstances didn't work out, look how the Lord used that, Darlene getting back up here like that. And you know, God, He does things. He always doing something. The Lord's always doing something. I mean, He's up to something, buddy, right now. He's up to something right now we don't even know about. And I'm telling you, He's a good God. He's a good, good God. I'm going to say an announcement or two, and then I'm going to take your Bible and turn to the book of Acts chapter 3. And while you're turning there, I want all of you to get in these morning services. Get in these morning services. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We have some of the best services. Somebody told me the other day they missed Brother Jerry Pilkington. And Brother Jerry had always... Well, I remember that one morning service about 3 years ago when he absolutely got saved again, I believe. That's what it was like. And he got a dose. And if you miss them morning services, you're going to miss a blessing. Tab family will be with us all day Saturday. And bring your kids. Now, I have always let my kids stay out of school on Friday the camp meeting. I've always done that. I would strongly urge you to do that. They get a vacation day for everything else. And so maybe just let them miss school Friday if you can, unless you have to work or whatever. Bring them on the camp meeting Friday morning. They play ball out here after the service. Some of them hang around. It's good. It's good for a kid's social life and to be built around their Christian friends, which are not just all the world friends. So let your kids stay out of school Friday if you can. Bring them on that morning service. Ladies going to be cooking. Food's going to be good. And Friday night, we're going to have a big night. Saturday, the Tabs will be with us all day. Tab family might even be here Friday. The Tab kids will be playing here all day. Kids can play. I just enjoy the Lord. They get around the piano, they sing, and let's just enjoy the things of the Lord. I've got some hard more days coming up here. And next week I'll be going down to Monroe, North Carolina, and preaching Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and not even getting to come home Friday, going to the airport and flying to Fort Myers, Florida, and preaching down there. That's the weekend I preach in Fort Myers. And so I'm looking forward to getting set around and hear some preaching this week. It's going to help me. Because it's been a long time since I just sat down and listened to somebody preach.
And I'm looking forward to it. Acts chapter number 3 this evening. And I want to bring you a thought here tonight from the Word of God. I want you to listen to me. Everybody, please listen. Give me your attention and listen. I've never preached on this before. I thought it might be good for our church. Acts chapter 3, verse number 19. He said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Look at that little phrase, "times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Now, I want to preach tonight about what is a camp meeting. You'd be surprised at the people who don't know what a camp meeting is or why we even call it camp meeting. I dare say probably half the people in this room tonight do not know why we call this meeting a camp meeting. I've heard people say, "Brother Danny, what's the difference in camp meeting and revival?" I've heard people say, "Brother Danny, why do you call it a camp meeting?" And I'm going to tell you that tonight. Now, the reason we call it camp meeting, some of you older ones know, of course, but beginning in Logan County, Kentucky, in 1799, the old-fashioned camp meeting movement in America began. The early history of the camp meeting is fascinating. You ought to study church history. That ought to be required in school. Every kid ought to be taught some church history to know their roots. Kids, we don't know where we come from now. We don't know our roots. And because of that, don't know where we are, where we've been, where we're going. But I know a little bit of our roots. And our roots, churches like this, and what we had this morning, are as a result of the old-time camp Methodist and Baptist camp meetings back in some 1799 through the 1800s, and here we are in 2012. The old circuit-riding Methodist preachers were some of the greatest and best founders of the old-fashioned camp meeting. Now, the reason they called them camp meeting is because back in them days, people lived in out yonder in a keel somewhere. They had 100 acres, and they farmed, and they milked cows, and they had chicken-laid eggs, and they had all these things, and they didn't see nobody. They went to town a couple of times a year, and they didn't ever go to big cities and stuff. So these preachers got under a burden, and they started having camp meetings. And they used to build these big old long tabernacles or brush arbor. How many of you know what is or have ever been to an old-fashioned brush arbor? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. That's about maybe half of you. You young people have no idea. You that are raised on Honey Boo Boo and MTV have no idea what the old-fashioned camp. Lord, ain't we a pitiful generation? Ain't we pitiful? Who in the world? They said, "She goes there and says, you look at you." Oh, yeah. I can't grab much of my belly. They didn't know what Honey Boo Boo was, but you know what they did? They would have an old-fashioned brush arbor. And what they'd do with an old-fashioned brush arbor, they'd stick up sticks or they'd have a trees or something, and they would take literally brush, limbs, and lay over top of it for shade, and it'd make like a big old tabernacle, and they would have a meeting. And people would come from miles and miles and miles around. Let me tell you just a little bit of history of it. They'd have 10 to 14-day meetings. Their meetings would usually last 2 weeks. Now, nowadays, we've cut it down to 4 days and down to 3 days. And now we're so busy now, we ain't even got time for God. If God wanted us to send revival now, we ain't got time for it, most people. But we got ourselves we're so blessed that we don't have time and even want to seek God and have a revival anymore. But they'd have 14-day meetings. And by 1820, there was 1,000 camp meetings in America. They would attract 5, 6, 7, 8, and sometimes 10,000 people. An old preacher by the name of Peter Cartwright, you should be familiar with. You've been saved a while. Old Peter Cartwright preached. He was the longest riding, circuit riding preacher, 71 years in the ministry. I'll tell you more about him in just a minute. Most of these preachers didn't live long like most people back in them days, but they'd have preaching 4 times a day. They'd meet like at 9 in the morning, and then they'd have another meeting like at 1 in the evening. They'd have another about 4 in the evening, and they'd have another about 7 at night. And the reason they have that at Myrtle, Mississippi, and at Sammy Allen's camp meeting in Resaca, Georgia, and some of these old, where they got that was the old time camp meetings. They would meet four times a day and preach the Word of God. They would have a man stand out there they called a trumpeter. And this trumpeter, keep me up on it just a little bit, Brother Mike. This trumpeter, he would stand out like this, and he would blow the trumpet when it's time for the meeting. And all the people would gather around. And they would camp. They would literally sleep in tents. They would sleep in a tent. Man would come from 50 miles away with his horse and wagon and his wife and his young'uns. And he'd say, honey, we're going to camp meeting. We got the crops in the barn. Somebody come over here and feed the animals. We got plenty of food in the barn. And we're going to camp meeting. And a man would take his family and put them on that horse and buggy, and it takes supplies. They'd take corn on the cob, and they'd take beef jerky, they said, because it wouldn't spoil. Right? They didn't have anything to keep it cold in, and they'd take stuff like that, and off they'd go to the camp meeting. When they arrived, they'd go all the way around that big tabernacle, and they would park, literally thousands of people. And they would sit out there, and early in the morning, they'd blow that trumpet. They had some trouble. There's people getting drunk and everything. They'd come and arrest them, and some of them was wild, you know. Some of them really didn't want to go. Some of them wanted to go because they said, man, they got girls there, and they'd never seen a real girl out there on the farm where they live. I mean, they only had two in the whole town, and one of them was a buck tooth. She could eat an apple through a chain link fence, and the other one was so cross eyed when she cried, tears running down her back. And so they wanted to go there, and they thought, man, I might find me a girlfriend there, or I might find me a husband there. And so they went. Some of them didn't have the right motive, maybe some of them, but they went to camp meeting. And when they got to the camp meeting, brother, they'd have big old fires out there roasting corn on the cob, and somebody'd kill a deer, and they'd bring that deer in there. And they'd dress up meat there and cook it over that open fire. And you can smell that boiling. I'll tell you, somebody be over here picking a banjo, you know, like that, playing a fiddle. They call it a violin if you're in a big shot. And if you're out in the country, it's fiddle, but it's the same thing. And they'd be over there playing that thing like that. Old Billy Kelly and some of them guys like that, used to do that. They'd be sitting around talking about the service. And then you'd have somebody like Brother Sheffy, the preacher, would be laying up yonder on top of a mountain somewhere on his sheepskin, on his face, begging God to fall on the presence of the camp meeting. That's why they call them camp meetings. People literally camp there. Now, I don't even know why some of them call camp meeting nowadays. To my knowledge, nobody camps there. They do in some places. And they stay in motels that look like where kings live back in them days. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. They had some meetings. They had some tremendous meetings. And they preached and they prayed and they preached and they prayed. And they prepared for months and months. There was Indians and there was animals, and it was dangerous, but they come. Now notice the Bible calls it the times of refreshing. They say by the year of 1815 that nearly 30% of the people in America had been to a camp meeting. That's a crowd. That's 30% of the population, and about everybody on the East Coast. You ever heard of the great Cumberland Valley revivals that went up through the coast, Virginia, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina? And I'm going to tell you tonight, you know how come you can go to any town in the South? You can go to any town in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, and there's a Baptist church on every corner. There's a Methodist church, and it was built by these men of God that stood and preached in them old West Harbor and camp meetings. And the reason why there's so many liquor stores up north is because the Catholic church had a grip on it up there, and the old-fashioned camp meeting movement was in the South. And brother, it built our country. Thank God for old-fashioned camp meeting. I'm glad we're a part of camp meeting. I'm glad to have a camp meeting. I'm excited about the camp meeting. We're reaching back to the 1700s, what we're doing here this week. Be a part of it. Don't let it pass you by. Get in on it. Do whatever you can to be a part of the camp meeting. I tell you, souls were saved by the thousands. The Christians enjoy the meeting. And you might be interested in knowing this. They said this. They said, and I thought this was interesting. It said, Christians enjoy the meeting most that cost them the greatest sacrifice. Isn't that something? Let me say that again. They said, Christians enjoy the meeting the most that cost them the greatest sacrifice. Wow, come on now. That's the truth.
I've seen people who prayed and fasted and put everything they had in the meeting. Son, they got something. I've seen people said, well, I'll try to get over there one night and watch, play fool around all day and watch TV all night and walk in and don't get nothing. You know what they said? Here's what they said, Brother Jason. They said these people come in and they said a 50-mile trip guarantees a good revival. That's what they said. They said, you ride a horse and pull a wagon 50 miles, that'd be like us driving to Canada or somewhere, brother. I mean, it'd be worse probably. Three days, it'd be like driving to California. I mean, if you drive to California and spend $1,000, you're going to get a blessing. Amen. You say, but I didn't come here for nothing. I'm going to get a blessing. And them Christians, they left their crops. They spent their money. They took their savings. And they said, hey, I put a lot into this. God, I want to get something out of it. I'm telling you something, brother, they begin to sing. And listen to this. In 1771, there were only 600 Methodists in the United States. 45 years later, by the time these guys got through preaching, there's 200,000. Listen, it went from 1 in 5,000 being a Methodist to 1 in 40. Them old-time Methodists, brother, they had the goods. The old, not this modern brand of weirdos we got nowadays. I mean the old-time Methodists. Some of them old-time Methodists, brother, they would peel your hide. I know you're talking about preaching. Some of them old preachers, Lord have mercy, they wasn't all refined. And they'd never been to training. They'd never been to cemetery. They'd never been that way that would kill their spirit. I'll tell you what, brother, they had the power of God. Them old Peter Cartwright and them guys, I'm going to tell you some stories about some of them tonight. It made the Methodists, there was 1 in 5,000 and then there became 1 in 40. And there was a time in this country when a man could go to the bank and ask to borrow money and all he had to say was, I'm a Methodist. And they said, he's good, he'll pay his bills. Go to the bank now and try that. Go to the bank down here in Morgan and Mark and say, I want to borrow $10,000. They say, well, what's your security? I'm a Baptist. Get out of here. We ain't loaning you nothing. I'm telling you, brother. Brother, when a man said, I'm a Methodist in 1850, brother, help me. You can believe every word he says. You can count on him. He'll pay his bills. He'll do good what he says he'll do. I'm telling you, they had some time. Now, let me tell you this. I found this interesting. They said that this was when they started singing, the congregation, and worship while they begin to sing. In other words, like they did a while ago. Do y'all realize what they did a while ago is so rare and almost unheard of in most churches still out west? Did you hear what they did a while ago? When they were saying, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me, they started singing that song. And we felt like the Lord's Spirit was speaking to hearts. We had some people come to the altar, and they sang that verse again. Now, me and you are used to that. Did you know they used to didn't do that? And the people out in the big shots never do that. It's unheard. They don't even realize there is such a thing as that. But it started at the camp meetings. They said they would sing the verses over and over and over. They said the people would worship. And you know what else I read? They said that what happened? Sometimes somebody will just stand up in the congregation and just start singing, the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever and ever. Now you see, in a big shot church, that ain't on the program. That can't happen. But in the camp meeting, somebody just standing, and the first thing you know, the whole congregation, everybody be standing up singing and worshiping. It would get out of control, brother. And they say, if you can control it, God ain't in it. Listen, I like to see it just flow when you don't know what's going to happen. And it goes this way. You know what? When I preached in Kentucky, Logan County, Kentucky is where this started. And you know, when I preached in Kentucky, we used to go up there at Allendale. I've seen Miss Kerr. I've seen Tony Shirley up here, Marion. I've seen his mama and them. We'd just be sitting around, somebody give a testimony, and one of them would stand up right back here and just start saying, the blood is still there. And everybody starts saying, people get saved. And all that. You know, that's old time camp meeting. That's camp meeting. Brother, we don't, so and so don't have to do nothing. You know, if that happened in some churches, people wouldn't know what to do. They go,
up. Oh my goodness. There was a woman stood up and started singing. She must be crazy. No, you must be crazy. I tell you, let the Lord have His way, brother. Let the Lord have His way. I'm glad we was born in the old mountains of North Carolina in the foothills where the people believe in worshiping in spirit and in truth. Stand up and shout. That's where the shouting started. I'm going to tell you how shouting started. Them old time camp meetings, they got under such emotion that they jumped the bank. They pray, they called it. You ever heard them old? I've heard people say that old so-and-so got in a spirit and he said he walked the bench and you take, put your foot right here and then you put your foot right there and then you put your foot right there and you go ding, 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 ding. Ain't no way you can do that. I mean, brother, unless the Lord was in it, you better not try that. Without the Lord, man, you'll break your back. But I tell you what, they jumped the benches, they run out in the woods, they hollered, some of them got the jerks. They call it the jerks. I don't know what that was. I believe I've seen them do it a little bit. I don't have nothing against that. That's what you want to do. That's your business. It said some of them people would fall in the floor and lay there for hours and not even know nobody else is around. I mean, they'd get into it. Their emotions. And let me say this tonight, ladies and gentlemen, don't ever let the devil steal your emotions out of your worship. You're not too big shot to worship God. You are not too big of a shot to get on this altar and cry and shed some tears. You're not so important that you can't bow down here with a little bus kid and put your arm around him and tell him Jesus loves him. That's where we got that stuff, them old-fashioned camp meetings. Worship would break out right during the preaching. I've had that happen lots of times. I've been preaching places before, and it absolutely broke out so loud that I'd stop. I couldn't even hear myself. I just stop and stand over here for a while and just watch it. I mean, people be shouting. I've seen what three or four preachers preaching at the same time. We had that here a few. You remember we had Reggie Sadler here one night? He was over here, and Hallelujah Howard was over here. And he, Lord, he didn't even know where he is at. He was drunk as a coot spiritually. And boy, he was preaching like that, you know. And Reggie come down that aisle right there, and he was preaching. All these people right here was listening to him. And all these people over here was watching Howard. And I think Frank here, somebody's up here preaching. They wasn't half of us even listening to him. Some of them listened. I got up there that night, and I said, I don't even know who to give the love off. He preached again. He preached again. I tell you, you know what? Sometimes they'd die if something like that happened. That's all we're giving us. It was all his chaos. No, brother. That's all good. It's all decent. That's all in order. Amen. I like seeing old fashioned camp meeting. I'm going to tell you, the kids get in on it. Little boys and little girls. That's why you ought to have your kids here. Let them feel that spirit. Let them know what God is. Let them know who He is. Let them feel. Even them little Midians, 3 and 4 years old, they can sense God's spirit. Listen, a kid knows when God's in the house. And I mean, Lord, start moving just right. You watch them little kids. They'll sit up on the edge of their seat like you. And it'll put faith down in them they never will get over. And they'll grow up knowing there's a God. That's why it does matter where you go to church. Amen. That's why it does matter where you go to church. Well, old Peter Cartwright got up, and there's where they described him. History book said he was a thick-set man. A thick-set man. He looked like a trash can, I reckon. Just a thick man. I'm not a thick man. But he was thick. It is like Bo Jason, he's a thick man. He's not fat, he's thick. He's just a big man. If he lost all his weight, he'd still be a big man. They said, and he had black little beady eyes. And he said he'd take them little black beady eyes, and son, he'd pierce you with them. And they said, old Peter Cartwright, listen to these old stories of these old Methodist preachers. Old Peter Cartwright, he'd get up and he said, we murdered the King's English at every link. But he said there was a divine unction. He said our English wasn't exactly right by the books, but he said there was something from another world came upon us while we preached. I want to tell you tonight, you hear me and you hear me well. You hear me and you hear me well. I'm telling you, it takes God anointing the old-fashioned preaching of the Word of God. It'll get more done in a young person's life. It'll get more done in a married couple's life than all of our arguing and all of our persuasion. That's right, brother. It's like a preacher told Billy Sunday one time, this real sophisticated preacher told Billy Sunday, he said, why don't you preach like me? And Billy Sunday said, if I preached like you, I wouldn't be no better than you are. You ain't no count. That's why nobody won't come hear you. Amen. Billy Sunday said, I want to make America so dry, you'd have to prime a man before he can spit. Old Billy Sunday said, he wrote his notes in big letters right there. And they said, why you write your notes in such big letters? He said, so I can read them when I run past the pulpit. That's right, brother. I mean, them guys, you know what they tell you now? You're supposed to stand right here. You're never supposed to raise your voice. And you're supposed to, watch them guys. Watch them big shot guys. They do like this. Receive Christ. They won't point the finger like that. They're trained not to. And they're trained, you should never move over here like this. They teach you that you're not even supposed to show your socks. Wouldn't you worry about me if I said it like that? Listen, brother, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm the old MO boys, I'm telling you, they preached and they preached and they preached and they preached. They preached. You know what they done? They had one time, old Peter Cartwright, he had one time where Andrew Jackson was in the audience, and they come out and they said, General Jackson's here. General Jackson's here. He's in the audience tonight, Mr. Cartwright. You know, you want to make sure you recognize him and brag on him. Be careful. Don't get up there. And it said, General Jackson's in the audience. And he was running for president. And old Peter Cartwright got up in the pulpit that night. They said, General Jackson's here tonight. I don't know where he is. But I'll tell you one thing. If he don't get saved, he'll go to hell like any other sinner. I mean, he ain't cut him no slack. Amen. I mean, them old boys are rough. They said they'd seen him down, had a sinner down like that, and he'd have a man by the throat that wouldn't get saved, and he'd say, dost thou not feel the Spirit striving with thee, brother? Like that. Amen. That's right, brother. Them boys didn't mess around. Hey, one time a Methodist of a bishop conference, or a bishop of the Methodist conference came to him, and he said, Mr. Cartwright, you're uneducated, and you don't know the real Bible and everything. So he quoted some Greek. The bishop quoted Greek. He said, like that, you know. And Peter Cartwright had no idea what he said, but his mama taught him some German. And so he just quoted some German back at him. And the bishop said, oh, he knows it, he knows it. That's pretty good, ain't it? That bishop didn't even know the difference. I'll tell you something, brother. That's the way them guys were. And then there was James McGrady. James McGrady, 1798. I think, brother, he was the preacher of the great Cumberland Valley Revival. They called him a Bush Baptist because he stayed out in the country and in the bushes. They made fun of him. They said at one of his meetings, Brother Jason, 300 men fell like cordwood. That 300 grown men just fell like you'd smote them with something. And it just knocked them on the ground. And they fell crying out to heaven for mercy. And not like Benny Hinn does it. Whoosh, like that and blows them on their back. These guys fell on their face begging God for mercy. I'm telling you something, brother. Him and John Wesley, and they all combined. They jumped. They laughed. They jumped up and down. Sinners fell flat and remained hours. They danced. And, brother, they laughed and yelled and sobbed. More important than that, brother, they kept on. They kept praying and they kept shouting and they kept... Listen, I'm going to tell you something now. This camp meeting we're having this week is more important than any school event that your kids have. Amen. I don't just believe that. I practiced that when I was growing up. You say, well, Brother Danny, your kids were in a Christian school. So, yeah, that's true. And they cooperate. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it should be. The Bible said, train up a child in the way he should go. And listen, when our kids were in school, we said, now look, now if we're having something at church, everything else is on the back burner. It is a sad day when people will push their child harder to cheerlead than it is to be in God's house singing the choir doing something for the Lord. Sad, sad. Yes, somebody told me the other day, these girls cheerleading, and they're about 13, 14 years old. 13-year-old girl. And the cheerleading outfit cost them $600.
And her mama has to pay the $600 for the cheerleading outfit and then buy their shoes and their hose and then pay for them to go to camp. And I probably got $1,200-$1,500 in a 13-year-old going to cheerleading camp. But when it's time to go to Bible camp, they can't afford it and ain't got no money. And it's only $100 and they fuss about that. Yeah, I ought to just fuss a little bit, shouldn't I? I ought to just say that's ridiculous. Amen. That old mean, old ugly, what's her name, that has the dance moms. Man, I preached on her about a year ago. That old mean, Lord, she's mean. Lord, she'd be perfect for Halloween. Abby, you got the dance mom. You know what they said? I saw on one report that they take them little old girls. They ain't 11 years old, I guess, 10 or 11 years old, and they fuss at them little old girls. They take them in there and they sit down and say, listen, you can do better than this. You can do better than that. You got talent. And they have them crying and everything. They have them kids crying. Yeah. What if we did that, church?
Oh, come on now.
What if we got your kid up here and said, you could do better than that. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Now you get up there in that choir. You say, oh, nobody talked to my kid like that. Isn't it amazing that they'll let them people talk to their kids like that to dance?
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace to God. You know what I'd do? If I had kids here, you know what I'd do? Son, I'd have them in there. I wouldn't leave after the first preacher just because my kid might have a little homework. I wouldn't do it. I see some of y'all do that every year, and it just puts me in a bad spirit. Listen, I'm time conscious. I know they got to get in bed. I'm not going to let it go long on Wednesday night unless the Lord just does something special. Don't do that. Just say, listen, my kids need what God's going to do here in these services. You don't realize it might be the message that keeps that girl from getting pregnant. It might be the message that keeps that boy from getting on drugs. This is God's work. It's important that we have our kids. You can have the best preaching in the world, but if they ain't here to hear it, it don't do them no good. Amen. Well, they take them little old dance kids and cheerleaders, and they take them to places and don't even let their parents come and fuss at them for a week. Why ain't they investigated as a cult? If you lay out of church Sunday night after camp meeting, you didn't get nothing. And that happens a lot too. The Sunday night, like next Sunday night, Lord, I've been to church every night since Wednesday. I'm staying home tonight. Well, you need to go that night because you're backslid. Old Charles Finney. Charles Finney, 1792 to 1875. Now, Finney preached in New York City, but his revivals went down into Cumberland Valley like Peter Cartwright. And while Darwin was monkeying around trying to grow into a human, Charles Finney got saved and started preaching. He was a lawyer, and he had 500,000 converts from Maine to Florida. Billy Bray, 1794 to 1868, lived in deep sin. He was a British boy, and Billy Bray got saved. And you know what? Billy Bray came out with that something. They said I was mad, but really I'm glad. He used to come out with those things. They shouted everywhere he went. And Billy Bray lived for the Lord. And he said, when I walk down the street, when I raise one foot, it says hallelujah, and the other says glory. Hallelujah, and the other says glory. And brother, that's where all that stuff comes from, these old preachers like that. People like Hallelujah Howard. Old Howard's going to be here. If I had kids, I'd want them to be around somebody like him. I'd take them back there when we eat, and I'd let them sit beside Hallelujah Howard, honey. Sit beside. Let some of that rub off on you a little bit. They need some of that old-time religion needs to rub off on these boys and girls instead of MTV and True Life and Jersey Shores and so on. They need to feel that old-time power. They need to know they's something bigger. They's something better. They's something more important than just school and football and all of that. They need to know that tonight. Amen. Old Billy Bray, his wife died one day, and when his wife died, he shouted all over the living room. Don't say that. He didn't. Not that kind of shouting. He's shouting because she was saved and went to heaven. And he said, my dear Joy has gone home to be with the bright ones, the angels in heaven, and shouted all over the living room. Amen. I'm telling you something, brother. He was gone. You know what Billy Bray did? His daughter was sick and is going to get her to the doctor. And he gave the last bit of money he had to a poor man.
And God honored that and healed his daughter. They had all kinds of stories like that. Miracles happened. Miracles happened. You know what our problem is? We put God in a box and say, Lord, I'm going to go over there Sunday morning. Now, if you want to bless me, you got to do it. Between 10 and 12. And then I got this to do and this to do and this to do and this to do and this. And I'm going to try to make it. I probably won't make it every night, but I'm going to try to. I'm going to try. And now, Lord, if you want to do anything for me, it's got to be right then because I ain't. You've got to make a sacrifice, brother. You've got to make a sacrifice. Amen. He gave his last dime away and God healed his daughter. Well, like Bo been to camp meeting this week. He sent me a text. I don't guess he cares me tell you this. He might be watching right now. He sent me a text. Said, Brother Danny about died this evening after church. He went somewhere and eat shrimp and he had an allergic reaction to it and liked to kill him. He said, wouldn't that be awful? I fought this long battle with cancer and then a shrimp killed me. And and I said, no, man, don't do that. And he said, I'll be there Wednesday night. He's so fired up for the camp meeting. And I am too. Do you know what? The saddest part of my heart. I love the camp meeting. I love it. I sit right here, usually or up there somewhere, and I try to soak in and preach and get a blessing. But it kills me when I look around and you ain't here. Because I think, they needed that. And their kids needed that. And their husband needed that. Their wife. These people not here tonight that needed what I've said here this evening. Go back and get in our roots. I'll tell you what I want us to do. I want us to get you some rest. Put the kids in the bed early tonight, tomorrow night, and Tuesday night. Wednesday night, we're going to have a short service like we always do, so you can get home at regular time or just 15 minutes later. And then Thursday night, right? And then Friday night, we'll go a little longer. And Saturday, the big night, the morning services will be great. All right, let's stand.